I would assume that everybody is here in regards to many articles that have appeared concerning the master contract, covering the road drivers, city drivers, dock employees, garage employees, and clerical employees in the 48 states of those local unions that are affiliated and chartered by the Teamsters Union. Today, the 75-man committee met that represents all of the local unions, went over the proposal as drafted out of all of the submissions from the local unions after consulting with their members, and after some minor changes, they have unanimously ratified the proposal as submitted by the drafting committee. Tomorrow, there will be some minor adjustments in language, and on Friday, the proposal will be mailed to the employers, some 40 associations and many thousands of employers, for the purpose of arranging the first meeting as rapidly as possible in Chicago, preferably by the end of this month, to start negotiating the contract for some 450,000 members of the Teamsters International Union. The proposal, as suggested by the drafters, contains a request for a 15-cent an hour basic hourly wage increase each year of 3 years, a dollar per week increase in health and welfare and pension each contract period for 3 years. It suggests a reduction in the years of requirement for vacations from 18 years for the four-year vacation to 15, from the 11 years to 10 for the 3 weeks. We likewise have inserted into the contract proposals for funeral pay, jury pay, and the question of no piggyback being allowed to be delivered by rail until each one of the road drivers on the seniority list has been assured of a trip for that particular day. Any company submitting the trailers to piggyback will be required to pay the driver for any trip that he may lose because of such type delivery. We have likewise tightened up the provisions on our hot cargo. The question of subcontracting, increased the protective provisions dealing with seniority, and have made the necessary changes in our grievance procedure for a national contract. Now, any specific questions concerning anything, I'd be happy to answer, but in general, that has what's transpired here during the course of the day, and it's the beginning of a nationwide contract after ratification of all the delegates across the United States.
Mr. Hoppe, what would you estimate to be the cost of all these demands, assuming they were met with as they stand now?
Probably 30 cents each year. Approximately 30% each year, 30 cents each year per hour, and a half cent per mile for road drivers who work on the mileage rate, which is equivalent also to 30 cents.
You put that in round numbers, millions of dollars?
Well, if you took the roughly $8 million a day.
A day?
Yes.
How many miles?
Roughly $8 million a day. If you take 400,000 drivers, estimate an hourly increase of the cost of 30 cents times 8, it's roughly $8 million a day.
Is that over the 3 years?
Yes.
Over the total 3 years?
No.
Each
each year increase.
It'll be 24 by the third year.
Yes. That's what it would amount to. That's per day.
How many working days are there a
year? There's about 320.
That
includes your total cost when you estimate 30 cents as the basic hourly increase, which takes care of all the cost factors combined.
Including the half cent?
Yes. Total cost factor, yes.
Mr. Hopper, how many individual trucking firms will be affected by
this? About 16,000 trucking concerns in the United States, both city cartage, road, long line, transcontinental, and short line. Roughly 85%.
What will be the mechanics of dealing with 16,000 truckers?
Almost all of the employers belong to associations in every state, in a area west of the Rocky Mountains, in the state organizations in the south, a southern, southeast, and southwest master employers association. In the central states, there are four associations. And in the East, there are 12 associations. And those associations have told us that they represent, out of the 400,000 members, 450,000 members, they represent about 300,000 employees of the employers who belong to their associations. So there would be about 100,000 employees who would be part of the employment of individual employers who do not belong to associations. Many of those private carriers, and normally, as in the past, they accept whatever comes out of the association negotiations, they accept the pattern and apply it to their present wage scales. That's been the past practice for almost 20 years.
Mr. Hoffman, you said that this amounts to about $8 million a day.
You figure it out roughly, $400,000. Well, that can't be right, then. Let's just see. I'm trying to figure it out real quick here. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. There's 400,000 people. 400,000 members is $240 a day, or $2.40 a day, times 400,000. What? 16? 8? No, I'm wrong. It's about 900,000 a day, excuse me. I got one decimal point too many, about 900,000 per day.
In other words, 320 work days would be approximately 200 million a year.
About that.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Hoffman. Will there be area and local agreements?
What do you mean by that? For administrative purposes, even though it will be a national contract, it will be broken down into areas of the 18 contracts that presently exist today with uniform language.
The standards will be the same.
Uniform language in total.
All right. Now, what about sums? Will the wage scale of a man in San Francisco be the same as that of a man in New York?
The wage scales today have already been standardized. That's no longer a problem. We have a standard minimum of $3.06 per hour for drivers in every single one of our area contracts today. And that ranges all the way up to $3.28 for drivers. So it's $3.06 to $3.28 as a national standard today.
In other words, there'll be no variation between New York and San Francisco.
Because of the two metropolitan areas, which there will be today in San Francisco, we have $3.28 for a driver. In New York, we have $3.13. Now, the way we adjust that in this proposal is that the second and third year of the proposal, over and beyond the basic increases, the men will pick up an additional 4 cents. And that will continue on until we equalize the large metropolitan areas with the $3.28 rate. We used Indianapolis as a barometer to reach the minimums below the 328, and the 306 will now go up to 313 as a minimum.
The minimum now is
306.
306.
That's right.
We have 15 cents for that.
No, the 15 cents will go on all contracts. But the difference between 306 and 313, 7 cents, is to be picked up by taking 2 cents the second year and 2 cents the third year, leaving a balance of 3 cents for the next contract period to equalize the non-metropolitan areas across the United States and to raise likewise the increase the second and third year till we reach the 328, which we've established for metropolitan areas.
So at the same time, the 328 will rise 45 cents.
Oh, yes, but that likewise will still maintain the same differential, so you have to keep adjusting the differentials by the 4 cents.
Well, then it'll be 4 or 5 years before it's completed.
Probably two to three contract periods, yes.
When's the 313 yes. minimum going into effect on the third?
It is now into effect right now.
313?
Oh, the 313 will be the rate of pay, the 7 cents. You can't use 313 no longer. You have to use 7 cents. 4 cents of the 7 cent differential will be picked up the second and third year of this contract. The other 3 cents will be picked up in the next 3-year period contract where there'll be no differential between all the minimum locals other than metropolitan areas.
Mr. Hoffa, for simplification...
The first year?
Yeah.
321.
All right. That's the lowest for any driver anywhere.
Right. The second year, you will pick up 17 cents for those drivers now who had the differential. Or you will be 338.
Right.
Then you will pick up 17 cents again on the third year. Or you will pick up $3 and... That's right.
Now, what will be the maximum for each driver?
You will take the 328 and add 45 cents to it. See, you got
383.
No. Oh, yes, 328. You're right, 373.
Are you asking for any increase in the number of paid holidays?
Asking for 2 additional holidays that's lumped into the total 30 cents sum that I'm talking about. We're asking for the personal holiday and one other holiday to be agreed to by the areas that they will select.
The personal holiday is a birthday holiday.
That is right.
And one other holiday.
That is right.
So, Hoffa, you had an earlier retirement?
We're asking for additional monies of $1 each year for the pension fund. And based on the actuarial studies, we will adjust the pensions as they now exist. No, there will be regional pension funds with reciprocity to carry your credits regardless of the numbers of locals or the companies you work in during your membership period of the Teamsters unions. Well, for instance, suppose you put in 10 years in the Middle West in Chicago. You now, because of your operation going west and running east, you put in 10 years in California. California pension plan will give you 10 years of retirement under their plan, and Chicago would give you 10 years retirement under their plan, a composite of the two being your total pension.
If you're able to begin negotiations by the end of this month, as you say you hope, what kind of a deadline do you think there should be on getting this thing going?
We will not set any deadlines at all because the employers, we've talked to the employers, and we realize this is a tremendous step forward in bargaining. And it may necessitate going over the deadline periods. If it does, I'm confident we'll arrive at a retroactive feature, and we'll continue to negotiate if we're making progress to a settlement. There's no deadline.
Will you sit down at one table with representatives of all employers?
Yes, we did 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we met in Chicago with the negotiators from the employer side and our negotiators to formulate the plans that are necessary for this tremendous negotiations. They're already laid out.
What was their reaction?
Fine. They accepted.
Would you strike?
I don't mean reaction to negotiating. I mean reaction to some of the content.
They have not been submitted the proposals as we have ratified it today.
Would you strike the whole group?
We would not strike the entire employer group at any one time, but would have selective strikes if we have to have it. I do not anticipate any strike.
Mr. Hoffa, what about that piggybacking provision? Could you go over that a little slower?
1955, we said that any company that had prior to 1955 a piggyback operation, that they were not required to pay into the pension fund the $5, but would have the right to increase that to any number they wanted with no payment. We have now eliminated that provision, and regardless of when you started piggyback, the premium will be expected to be paid on all trailers delivered by piggyback from common carriers or private carriers we have under contract.
$5 premium.
Yes.
Any truck piggyback would be
$5. $5 loading it and $5 on the return in the pension fund of the respective local unions. There have been some state legislatures passed, but it's our position that this is preempted by federal law, and we have continued on collecting it. Nobody has challenged the legality of our provision, and we're prepared to go to court if they do.
Well, what about this other one, other piggybacking provision, about the employer can't piggyback unless we do
Some of our employers have taken advantage of the piggyback provision. And even though by teletype they knew that a driver was within 2 hours of the terminal, or they knew that the driver's statutory rest time would be up within an hour or two, they took the loaded unit to the piggyback yard. And the consequence of that being that when the driver came into the terminal or his statutory time was up, he had no load. So we maintain now that you can only send overflow loads to the pig yard, and you must maintain sufficient trailers to take care of the driver en route in a reasonable time and the man on statutory time within a reasonable time for his load before they can use pig.
These are your regular drivers?
Yes, regular seniority drivers.
I mean, every driver at a terminal has to have a truck.
Before you can have a piggyback load, yes.
And if he doesn't have a rig,
then pay us. If you put the trailer on the pig and a driver didn't get a load that night, you owe the driver a trip. If there was no load made because of insufficient freight, you have no charge.
Is that one day's pay?
Yes, one trip.
Oh,
based upon the length of the trip, you couldn't estimate the exact cost of that, based on the trip. If he lost a complete round, he would get paid the trip.
One driver, suppose one driver took that through, but asleep. Would he and his helpers get the full pay?
Yes, they would.
But is this now his only load for the day, or is this if he comes back and there's no load because of the centrifuge?
Normally, when you come down at night and the load's already on the pig and there's no load for you, you do not get a load till the next night. So the result is you either lost a half a trip or a complete trip. Now, based upon the length of the trip of the pig, as of when you're dispatched out, will determine whether it's a full trip or a half trip, you'll get paid.
When did you say these provisions are being mailed and required?
We expect to mail them out on Friday.
Will they be available in the press?
I would not think on Friday. I think it would be unfair to the employers not to have it in their possession first, but the earlier part of the week, I would imagine you can secure it, yes.
How many holidays now? Is it 7?
6 minimum.
What's the aim of this?
You have all the way up to 12, and it's 6 minimum to 12.
Well, you said you're asking 3 more?
2.
Was that the end of the 12
and 12 to 6? No, it'll go beyond the 6. Yes.
Well, the most of them have 6?
Yeah. Yes, the most have 6. Most have 6, yes.
What's the purpose of the piggybacking?
No, the employers took advantage of a technicality in the drafting of the last provision, which was never intended nor understood by the negotiators. We're merely correcting the language to avoid any further subterfuge by the employer in regards to violating the seniority provision of our contract.
Well, what's the aim of this, to discourage piggyback?
No, it's the aim to supply the drivers with their loads and to use piggyback as an overflow. Many of our areas collect on that now. Central States collects exactly that way today.
Full
We collect whatever we lose. If we lose a half a trip or a trip, we collect it today because of the pig. Hot cargo clause was argued, many of you labor reporters know, last week on Tuesday here in Washington, D.C. The Brown and Patton case. Brown out of Atlanta, Georgia, Patton out of Columbus, Ohio. And it was argued before a three-judge court. And we're waiting for the decision to come down to where we're appealing the National Labor Relations Board decision outlawing our language to determine how we will redraft the hot cargoes provision so we can get the utmost out of the last court decision.
You're reserving the right then to insert hot cargo language in.
And when this decision comes down, yes, based upon the full effect of the decision in regards to how tight we can draft that language.
In other words, even after you close the contract, there will be a provision for insertion of that.
Oh, no, this will be in a matter of days. The case was argued last Tuesday, and prior to getting in negotiation or completing it, in all probability, this decision will be down.
Wouldn't that go to appeal again?
Well, irregardless of the appeal, the decision coming down, we will draft the language, submit it, and it will be subject, of course, to the appeal court's review, and if we do, we'll have a right to modify it, but we'll take advantage of the decision as it comes down immediately.
You tell us what do you expect this will
prove? Well, the patent case is a warehouse located in Columbus, Ohio, where the board charged that the refusal of the employees in the warehouse to handle merchandise delivered to the docks by either scabs or non-union trucks was a violation of the act. We contend that under the law, we have a right to follow unfair or struck-bound merchandise to the location of delivery, place a picket advertising our dispute in front of the delivery point, and the drivers have a right then to respect that line and refuse to handle the unfair or struck goods. No, it will not be. No, we contend that under the decision of February 26th of this year of the National Labor Relations Board, that if it's a bona fide strike of a certified union, that we have a right to tell the employees not to handle it as a union. This is the February 26th decision of 63.
What will be the effective date of the retroactive date of the contract?
Well, we've had retroactive many times before, and we simply collect all of the monetary items retroactively.
And what would be the date? When did the current contract expire?
The first contract expires in Chicago on December 31st. The Central States Southern Conference expires February 1. And the balance of the contracts expire between February and October of the 64. Yes. It will expire in February 1967. Yes. There is a provision in the International Constitution that was passed at the last convention that where a majority of the local unions in an industry vote for an area-wide contract, all of the local unions are bound by that majority decision. This matter will be discussed in the December board meeting. The final decision will be rendered by the executive board after a hearing of the five local unions, that have not yet gave power of attorney.
What total union membership was eligible to vote on this matter?
Are you talking about the four local unions or five?
No, I mean on
400,000, about 400,000 to 450,000.
Which
other four or five? There are only five local unions. There are four in New York and San Francisco.
What was the percentage of vote in favor or against?
Almost unanimous in the other local unions.
Individual
local union basis. Each local held their own vote. My local had 6,000 people in the meeting, and the 6,000 members unanimously voted for power of attorney.
What is the membership of the board dissident?
They're not dissident locals. They're individualists who took certain positions, and there is about altogether 6,000.
Are you going to lead the negotiations?
I expect to, yes. I'll be chairman of the negotiating committee.
How many members on the negotiating committee?
There will be a 50-man policy committee and a 5-man negotiating committee.
Do you have any idea how your federal court dates will interfere with this matter?
No, I do not.
What other items are you trying to standardize nationwide in this contract, other than the...
Well, we don't have many contracts, John. During the last 40 months of negotiations, when all the masters were put together, we standardized all of the language then, except the monetary issues. They're all standardized now.
For example, what's layover time standardized at?
15 hours on the first layover, 8 thereafter, 12 hours on the second layover, and 8 thereafter.
When you negotiate, do you negotiate simultaneously for the clerical employees?
By subcommittees working in conjunction with the same employers, yes.
It will all be incorporated in one time?
Yes, it will be.
As
supplements. There will be a master and then supplements covering each one of the categories.
Is this 400,000 figure includes the clerical?
Yes, it does.
Were the New England employers included in the meeting in Chicago?
New England employers will not be required to negotiate, because their contract already has a provision in it accepting whatever comes out of the Central Conference negotiations and automatically put it into effect.
It runs
for the next 3-year period, but they accept the full increases without negotiating.
The contract won't expire until when? The present contract?
It will expire in April of 1967.
But they would have to put the increases in at once.
They have already agreed by contract to accept it without negotiations, whatever comes out of central states on a monetary basis, yes.
Do you consider the principle of standardization more important than any individual benefits that are being negotiated in this contract?
Standardization of the contract is tied into the pension, welfare, and the seniority. Because if an employer has a monetary reduction somewhere in the area that he can move his terminal, the men who are affected by the high rate invariably suffer the loss of jobs because the carrier moves into the low rated area. And so for the protection of our members, it's more necessary to have standardization than any single clause in this contract. So they will not lose their total job security because of the inequities created by certain less costly factors in certain contracts.
Is the common expiration date the most important aspect of this contract, in your opinion?
Common expiration date is one of the most important. Necessarily, you must have the component parts to make it compatible to accepting it. On an average of 10 cents less than the driver.
10 cents an hour less?
Yes.
They're not nearly uniform, are they?
Yes, exactly.
Is that right? What is their minimum now? 296?
296.
What's the health and welfare contribution?
Average $3.40 a week.
And that would be $1 on top of that.
$1 each of the 3 years, yes.
And then how about the contribution?
$6 average. That is right.
On the wage thing, once more, it's the rates that are between 306 and 313 that will get the...
4 cents.
To bring it up.
That is right.
7 cents over the contract period.
No, 4 cents. The 7 cents behind will pick up four of the seven this 3 years. Four of the seven this 3 years, yes. They will get the basic increase. That's our proposal.
Is that 15 now? 15 in cash wages?
That's what we expect, yes. We have also changed the method of computing cost of living. We now get 1 cent for each 0.4. We're changing that now because of the new index of the government.
What?
It has to be computed on our finally completed contract to determine what the point per penny will be. And you can't do that till you know the total wage package. What's that? Well, you may necessarily have to do it if you change a point system. We can't tell that till we're negotiated. It happens different than that. That if a man is laid off in any city, we keep what I just stated. But if a man is laid off in Washington, D.C. by a national concern, and work picks up in Philadelphia or Baltimore, before he can hire a man off of the street, he will have to offer the man who had seniority on the layoff the opportunity going to Baltimore or Philadelphia. And the reason we do that is to have continuity of credits for his welfare and pension and the vacation schedules.
In other words, an employer can't lose a term in another area and expect to get a lower.
That is correct. Nor to hire new employees and avoid paying long-term vacations. Two-thirds. Yes, two-thirds.
You include the pickup in the 30 cent estimate?
Yes, we do.
This figure we came up with at the beginning is $200 million a year, roughly. That represents what would be the increase. Is that correct? This contract covering 450,000 people, this would this seem to you to be the largest contract?
So far as I know of, yes. I know of no other contract of the anywhere near this number. I think General Motors has 280,000, if I'm not mistaken, in their master agreement.
Does this ever be the largest
master contract?
I don't think they have over 300,000, 400,000 in their master agreement because they have the fabricating agreements thereafter and the aluminum agreements.
Do you think the industry can absorb increase of this nature without raising rates?
No, I do not. They will raise rates.
Your dental plan
right? We are asking 10 cents an hour for dental plan.
In this 30 cents, 10 cents?
Now that's a separate and distinct provision.
10 cents for what, sir?
10 cents per hour for dental program.
From an employee, in addition to
what separate and distinct, and has nothing to do with the 30 cents.
But it is part of this negotiation.
That is right.
That's
right.
Can I make it 40 cents an hour?
I don't want to say 40 cents because that's a negotiable figure based upon the study of the cost of dentistry in each area. It's a variable figure.
You said jury time. The man serves for a month on a long criminal case or something and gets paid.
That's right. You can rest assured that it'll be a minimum cost because very few working people get on juries.
Jimmy, we found another guy.
That's a negotiated factor, that's why, and it's a variable cost.
There won't be another dime each year.
No.
You suggest that the 30 cents is not negotiable?
In a different method than the question of the hospitalization, or rather the eyeglass and the teeth, because we have had 200 doctors studying this plan throughout the United States as to determine the cost and the best method of dispensing the dentistry and the eyeglass. And we find that where you have 5,000 or more, you can have your own laboratories. Where you have less than 5,000, you have to do your business with clinics that are already established. And that becomes a variable cost that we have not determined yet exactly where it's at.
What is funeral pay?
Well, if your anybody in your immediate family dies, you have a right to be paid for 3 days to take care of the necessary problems of the ranging for funeral, attending the funeral, etc.
Is that in any contract today?
Majority of the contracts.
If this is the largest contract and you've got 450,000 men, do you have any estimate of how much money this contract is for over a period of a year?
Well, next week, if you want that, I'll put it on a computer and give it to you exact. I don't want to sit here now and try to figure out.
How much do you think this is?
Because they'd have to take a composite cost of the mileage rate, the trip rate, the average overtime, to determine the approximate total cost of the package. Mm-hmm. We'll probably work that out. We will work it out to where we will have charts on it to use in our negotiations as we generally do when we meet the employers.
That's 900,000 a day is a pretty good rough figure.
I think roughly.
This 15 cents, this is happening with clerical people, everybody. So
that's right.
How much do you think the industry will have to raise rates to pay this bill?
Full 900,000?
I wouldn't want to estimate that because we've been able to run new type equipment that will absorb part of this cost.
Is it faster or bigger?
I wouldn't want to give you an estimate. We're now running doubles since the October 1st date from Chicago to the West Coast. We're now running doubles into the East that we couldn't run before, and we're running some 45 foot against 40s. And all of that would be a determining factor concerning the rate structure.
There's 2 men on the doubles, right?
Yes.
Is there any intention of having a single agreement for warehouse employees such as those at the supermarket chains?
We're negotiating one now. We have drafted a master agreement for the chain stores. Harold Gibbons is in charge of it, our executive vice president. And we're in a process now of meeting the chain stores for the same type negotiations we have here, except it will be company-wide rather than industry-wide. No, I wouldn't want to do that because the type of operation of an employer can determine, change the cost. If you're a city cartage operator and you have no long line movement, your cost can be greater than a long line movement with its own city cartage. And you have to take the particular company, as we do in negotiations, and we take their past 90 days earnings plus the 100-weight handle per employee to determine the productive cost factor and what the increase will be based upon productive cost factor. Many people have mechanical means of handling freight, and others have yet the manual type handling, and all that enters into cost.
As a matter of mechanics, Mr. Hoffer, isn't it true that each individual employer signs an agreement with the union?
He first signs a master.
Yes.
And then he signs an individual contract with the union, yes.
Now, there are variations.
Only if the conditions are better, never less.
In other words, there'll be no retreat.
No, the only way that a contract can be, an appendix can be to the master contract is that it has a better condition for a particular area that is not applicable to the entire industry.
Will there be one contract for over the road and one for local cartage?
Only for administrative purposes. There will be a master draft to be signed in total encompassing all of the classifications, but after it's signed, they'll be broke down for administrative purposes into the five divisions.
But the two big groups would get the same raise.
All the groups would get the same.
What are the five divisions?
Well, you have road, city, dock, mechanic, and clerical.
Docking and loading dock, platform.
Yes, platform.
Do the garage employees belong to your union?
In many instances, yes.
Some sort of machines.
That is correct.
All these will be.
We are now, I may say this, we are now, in many instances, working in conjunction as we have in the past with the machinists, and they will jointly negotiate, or we will be in conjunction with each other, so we will not have a problem of one being on strike and one working.
All these divisions you mentioned now are in the trucking industry.
That is correct.
This new piggyback rule, there's been a lot of violation there, a lot of loss of jobs there, do you think?
On long line haul, yes.
Any idea how many more days work this means for people?
We have it pretty well broke down in each area in our offices. I don't have it here, and I would not want to guess. It'd be submitted to the employers on the chart. We have a chart prepared in each conference for this. If they're getting work now they're not entitled to, then our employer should not be allowed to violate the agreement.
You mean there's a loss of jobs due to piggyback?
Of course.
Or other reasons?
Well, there's loss for piggyback.
You are not asking for a shorter work week?
No, we are not.
That contract covered $400,000 or $450,000?
It's between $400,000 and $450,000. Any other questions, gentlemen? Thank you. Well, I got to go to Detroit.